It can really help to have someone looking out for your interests when you encounter problems with corporate America. Christopher Elliott investigates the scams and issues that cost travelers money and aggravation in his weekly columns for The Washington Post, USA Today, and The Huffington Post. Chris joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves to take your calls at 877-333-7425 and to tell us what kinds of issues he's hearing about lately that might impact your travels. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
What's trendy right now? What kind of complaints are you finding, legitimate complaints, that we consumers need to be aware of when we deal with the travel industry?
I think a lot of the anger that I get in my advocacy practice is aimed at ourselves. We're upset that we make mistakes when we book travel, you know, we get things wrong.
Because, more and more corporations are driving everything to be automated and you just fill out the form online.
I think that's a really disturbing trend because people still need the human touch.
Yeah.
A lot of us are not comfortable booking online. And when we do, we make mistakes. And then when we make mistakes, there's usually no way of undoing the mistakes because the purchase is non-refundable. Now, fortunately, there are some new laws that have kind of taken effect. The Department of Transportation has a 24-hour cancellation rule, for example. So if you screw up on your reservation, mm-hmm. you can. Hotels, not yet. Cruises, not yet. But, you know, we're getting there.
I like that. When you are venturing to book something complicated online, they let you review it before you click, yes, this is all good.
That's a really good tip, actually. It seems really obvious, but most people, they'll just look at the date and then they'll just move on. Yeah, and there's all these screens upon screens.
And then you don't realize the problem until you go to the airline or until you turn up for the cruise.
Well, that's the other problem is people who are not looking at the reservation that's been sent to them by email. They're saying, hey, it's fine. I'll look at it the day before the trip. They don't realize that maybe their reservation was for the wrong day. And there goes their entire vacation.
You need to have a discipline. No matter how your eyes glaze over, go through that printout or whatever, line by line, and make sure it's right. Now, you mentioned a human touch is a good thing, unless you're dealing with the TSA. what's your take on the TSA and getting through the airport?
The TSA and I, we go way back. I think that they're trying. I'm going to give them credit for that.
That's what I get. I mean, they're hired to do a job.
Yeah,
it's not, they're right. Just looking for work. I just think it must be one of the most boring things on earth. And I just remind myself, just hold your tongue and don't get yourself in trouble.
Right.
But this full body scanner is sort of a thing that I'm just really, I have a problem with it.
And me too.
I make a point not to go through it. I've gone through it about twice in my life.
I've gone through one time and that was it.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I'm troubled by that. It's part of that security circus that I talk about a lot in my columns is just that they're trying to put a good show on for us. But, you know, each of these full body scanners is, they're expensive. They're a couple hundred thousand dollars. So it's a pretty expensive show that they're putting on for us. But I'm concerned on a variety of levels. I think the health thing, the thing is that they haven't really, in my view, haven't been adequately tested. So we don't know if whatever it is they're beaming us with is perfectly safe. So if they don't allow for independent testing, then, you know, what are we going to just take their word for it?
They don't allow for independent testing. They say we've checked it and we think it's safe.
They haven't really fully released, as far as I know, they have not released, to the satisfaction of critics, have not released a machine for people to really study.
Now, when I opt out, and I always do, I just say I'd like to opt out. And that's all you got to do. And they're always, a lot of times they'll make you wait just to kind of.
It's the punitive weight.
The punitive weight. I just sit there and it's just, but I do that. But I'm surprised they give you that option. Why can't they just say you have to do it?
Well, if you have pre-check, you don't have to go through that whole process, which is another issue that I have with the TSA is that they're forcing you now to pay money for something that should be included because everyone is paying taxes. And that's really how this is being funded is through our taxes and through ticket taxes and everything
like pre-check, that. Now, pre-check, it takes a few hoops to go through to get that.
You do.
You have to make a special appointment and go down and they ask you a lot of questions.
Background search. They want to make sure that you really are going to be a safe traveler.
And then you save average 10 minutes a flight by going through fast.
Yeah. And see, over the summer, actually for the last year or so, they've been doing something called managed inclusion, which means that they'll just wave you through the pre-check line randomly.
So everybody gets pre-checked.
They have a little device called a randomizer, and it'll tell you who gets to go through. And they're trying to sell pre-check.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I just thought they'd look kind of go, there's a lot of people here. Let's just get a lot of them through in a hurry.
No, they're doing it randomly.
To sell PreCheck because they make money on it. It's a revenue source.
Absolutely. Well, they're trying to sell PreCheck. They want everyone to have these background checks.
I've been lazy, but I want to do it because it's a beautiful thing to be able to leave your stuff on and leave your stuff in the bag and just go through without that full body scanner. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Christopher Elliott. His book is called How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. Chris, travel insurance is a big deal for me, for a lot of travelers, and it's a little confusing. First of all, there's a lot of different kinds of travel insurance. There's health, there's trip interruption cancellation, there's baggage. The one that really matters most is interruption and cancellation, isn't it? Isn't that far and away when people refer to travel insurance, what they're talking about?
That's right. That's exactly right. People are afraid that something is going to happen while they're on the road, and that will then effectively end their vacation. They want to figure out some way of compensating or getting some of that money back.
So very briefly, you can insure your baggage if you're going to lose it or something like that. And that's, I understand, one of the worst values statistically among insurance, but some people want to insure that. You can get your health insurance, but you might have it already and not know that. So you should look into your health insurance, see how it covers you on the road. And then what we're talking about is interruption and cancellation insurance. And that only comes into play if you're buying stuff that is expensive to change or cancel.
Trip insurance is not for everyone, but the times when it really comes in handy are when something catastrophic happens. Someone dies. You need repatriation of remains, which can be very expensive. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's an air ambulance that you have to use, that kind of thing. You know,
or if you get injured and have to fly home and take 3 seats in first class.
Absolutely. That too. That's the thing, is that you're really, it's a gamble.
If you buy a plane ticket, if you buy a cruise, if you buy a tour, all of that stuff is really expensive to cancel once you're on board.
It is. Your airfare, you're not going to ever get that back, probably.
But can't you buy insurance for that?
You can. Well, if you're booking the airfare separately, you can get insurance. Usually your airline will offer that as an optional add-on.
So generally, you can buy away the risk that comes with canceling or changing something with a legitimate reason just before or just partially into it and get a fair reimbursement. And sometimes you can pay more and not even have to have a legitimate reason.
You know, a big concern is over insurance. Your travel agent or maybe your online travel site will say, you know, you're not protected. Get peace of mind when you already are protected. Maybe you've used a credit card that allows you to get some insurance and you're not aware of it.
So we should remind people that people who sell you stuff, they accomplish two things when they scare you into buying insurance. They make sure that you're covered if you have a gripe with them, so they're less likely to have to deal with you because they're not taking your money. They're getting money from the insurance company. And secondly, they're making a big commission on that insurance they're having you buy because their little serial number is on your application for the insurance.
Absolutely. And it's a considerable commission. We're talking about 30-40% or more.
It's obscene.
It's ridiculous.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking consumer advocacy with Christopher Elliott. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And William's calling in from Miami in Florida. William, thanks for your call.
Oh, hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. Do you have a question or a comment for Christopher?
Yes, I do. Chris, I'm a really big fan. I read the forum every day, and I've learned so much, you know, about you just have to be careful, you know, when you're buying anything and they're, you know, reading anything, you know, you have to read the fine print and everything, especially on the insurance. But I've noticed that most of the commentaries, you know, that the people make, you know, on the problems that people have, that they have absolutely no mercy on the people who buy the non-refundable tickets and don't buy travel insurance, you know? Mm-hmm. But I've seen quite a few of the people that do buy the insurance have problems also.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be really, really, really stick in your craw that you buy the insurance and then you get stonewalled when it comes to paying.
Yeah, you're right.
Making a claim on it.
It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And I totally understand how you feel.
How so? Explain that again.
Well, damned if you do, meaning that if you buy the insurance, you may have to file a claim that is not honored or is not processed by your insurance company. So we have quite a few cases like that where, well, it's
insurance with limits.
It's the most common type of travel insurance is the named exclusion policy. And as it says, they're named exclusions. So if your best friend dies, you might not be covered. So it has to be a relative. So that's one of the named exclusions. So you may cancel your trip to go to your best friend's funeral, but your travel insurance is not going to cover you. And that's really a tough one.
So you need to read the fine print on that stuff.
Well, you can read it, but if something happens,
you're not insured.
You're not insured. Right. Yeah, yeah. Now, the damn...
But you could buy more expensive insurance that's not itemized.
That cancel for any reason, which is, you know, as you know, much more expensive. It's right. Usually 10 to 12% of the cost of your trip.
As opposed to 5 or 6 or 7 or something.
Right, exactly. And then if you don't buy the insurance, you, of course, as you point out in our forums, no mercy for someone who doesn't buy insurance. And I wanted to actually mention something about that because our forums, and you can reach those by going to elliott.org/forum, just singular. We have some characters in there who work in the travel industry. They really want to help, but they also have a point of view. And you have to understand that these people they probably sell insurance for a living, and they obviously want everyone else to buy their insurance. So that's their perspective.
Hey, William, thanks for your call.
Okay, you guys have a good one. Bye.
Bye now. Christopher Elliott is helping us to be smart travelers right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Chris writes a weekly consumer travel column for The Washington Post, USA Today, The Huffington Post, and in many local newspapers. Chris also troubleshoots and helps resolve the complaints of fellow travelers in his consumer advocacy blog, which you can find on his website at elliott.org. His book is called How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler and Save Time, Money, and Hassle. It's published by National Geographic. Ed's calling in from Chino Hills in California. Ed, thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you very much, Rick, and hello, Chris. Hey, since you are the world's smartest traveler, what apps do you use, and Rick, this is for you too, what apps do you use that you find invaluable for traveling?
All right, Chris, what apps would we find with you when you're on the road?
Okay, first of all, I did not come up with the name of my book, so I don't,
the smartest
I don't
traveler.
Call myself the world.
He's wearing a T-shirt right now. It says, Christopher Elliott, I'm the smartest traveler.
I am the world. But that's really a good question, though, Rick. What do you use?
I don't use that many apps.
You have apps.
I have an app. I use my own app all the time.
You use your own app.
I use that, too.
Yeah, I like my app is just a collection of our favorite interviews that are in country-specific playlists. So I was just in England, faced with a five-hour drive across South England. I just went to my app, and I pulled down 3 hours of great interviews and got to listen to stuff like what we're talking about with Christopher here all day long as I drove. I like that. I like the mapping, you know, apps. Just drop a pin, and you get helped getting there.
I'm going to agree. Now, this is not a cop-out answer, but I'm going to agree with Rick that the direction-finding apps are probably the most useful. Waze, for example. I get people talking to me about that app all the time and recommending it because it's just, you know, crowdsourcing plus directions. It's just awesome.
And that's an interesting issue here also, Ed and Christopher, the crowdsourcing. This has been the most radical change for travelers, at least in my beat, Europe, is all of these CruiseCritic.com and Yelp and TripAdvisor and all this kind of thing. What's your take on TripAdvisor, for instance, Christopher?
That's the first chapter of my book on how to be the world's smartest traveler is on crowdsourcing incredible sources. You know, there's so many sources now online that claim to be authoritative. And, you know, I don't want to really take a swipe at TripAdvisor, but you asked me so. Here goes. The problem with TripAdvisor is that they don't verify their reviews. We don't know who these people are. They could be anyone. They do have an algorithm that tries to ferret out the fakes. Doesn't always work. So you could end up with a competitor basically doing a review of that hotel.
I know from my own experience, small hotels all over Europe are hiring companies in India just to put a comment in TripAdvisor in their favor. They pay these companies in Asia to do that. There's also restaurants and hoteliers that are bribing people with all sorts of free extras if they'll put in the comments. And then you meet these travelers that just brag that I'm doing the whole trip based on TripAdvisor. You know, and who are these people that are assessing the restaurants? A lot of them are one-time travelers, and they go to Paris, and they love the Tex-Mex, you know, and it's just they write about that. And I find TripAdvisor is a great source of data. I mean, I like to go through just to see what's out there. But the assessment of all these things, you know, it's worth looking at, but I certainly wouldn't base my whole trip on it blindly like a lot of people do because, as Christopher said, it's hard to know how many of these comments are either plants in favor or enemies that have an agenda.
TripAdvisor is another data point like CruiseCritic. You know, you want to use it, reference it, but cross-reference it with other very authoritative sources, your travel agent, a guidebook, you know, one of like your guidebooks.
Yeah, there's guidebooks that work, yeah. But, you know, in the last 20 years, the change has been there's so much data out there now. And part of my job as a guidebook writer is to sort through it all, not to provide more, but to distill it down. And it's you got to know what curates your information. That's really important these days.
You know, and one of the worst things that I've seen in my advocacy practice is people who are, I call them the TripAdvisor vultures. They show up and they tell everyone that they are going to write up a review for TripAdvisor and hoping that they're going to get favorable treatment while they're there.
Using it as an extortion. Yeah. I was in a restaurant in Wales just a couple weeks ago, and the people stood up and they went out in a huff and they said, we're going to write about you on TripAdvisor and that's going to ruin your little restaurant. I mean, as if that really matters.
Yeah, they do it all the time at restaurants, at hotels. You hear about it a lot, unfortunately.
Ed, thanks for your call.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Christopher Elliott. He's a consumer advocate columnist. Christopher, ATMs to me are just too good to be true. I grew up on traveler's checks. I've never had a problem with an ATM machine. It's never eaten my card. I always feel like I get a fair exchange rate. How am I naive?
I don't think you are at all.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
No. I mean, if you need cash, an ATM is usually the best place to go. Banks have banker hours. So, you know, if you have a card that works. But here's the thing, though, is that you don't know if your card is going to work or not. And we've run into this issue in Europe all the time. Is not knowing if your card is part of the right network and is it going to accept it? Does it have the right chip?
If it doesn't accept it, you just go to another ATM.
Go to the next one, exactly.
That's part of good travel, I think. If I was going to write a one-paragraph book called How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler, if something's not to your liking, change your liking.
Yes, exactly.
You know, go to the next machine because that you take these little bumps. But nowadays, we've got this issue that American credit cards, a lot of them, the old-fashioned magnetic strip. Yep. And in Europe, they're going to the computer chip.
Yep.
What's the downside if you go to Europe now with a magnetic strip?
Your card probably won't work everywhere. This is also true for Canada, by the way, if you don't have the chip on your card. Mm-hmm. They're all moving much faster than we are here in the States to the chip system, which is more secure.
And it's just more advanced. At first our banks were kind of belligerent, but now they're getting the message, aren't they?
Because it costs more. You know, they don't want to spend that extra money.
But I think right now we have interim cards that have both.
The chip and swipe, right? You can ask your bank for one. And that would be my advice, is ask your bank
before you go.
And they can often get it to you quite quickly. I've had bank got me one in about 3 days.
Nice. Hey, it's been good talking to you, Christopher.
Likewise.
And good luck with your work. Once again, we're talking with Christopher Elliott. His website is elliott.org. And his book is How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. Happy travels.
Thank you.
Amour fou des aventures. Vivre à toute allure, comment peut-on les réunir? Destins et désirs, je veux tout et je ne veux rien. J'ai pris tant de chemins, on dirait que celui-là me conduit jusqu'à toi.
You can also listen to our earlier interviews with Christopher Elliott in the Travel with Rick Steves show archives. You'll find it in our website at ricksteves.com/radio. Look for these interviews in January and May of 2016. Next, Patricia Schultz of 1,000 Places to See Before You Die is back with us. The domestic offshoot of her bestseller is just updated in its third edition. Her first book listed a bit over 100 places in North America, and now she's expanded our domestic options to 1,000 Places to See Before You Die in the United States and Canada. We're at 877-333-7425 on Travel with Rick Steves.